Can you understand how there can be no such thing as a Christian apart from the personal presence of Christ? Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. These words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ in talking to his disciples and explaining to them the truth that their life would come from him, that there would be no such thing as them living, walking, serving him apart from him. They would be unable to do the will of God in their own strength. The whole plan of the Christian gospel is that the individual human being yielding himself to God receives from God, according to the promises of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. And receiving this Savior, God works in the man to change him, to have him born again, to regenerate him, to open his heart for God's blessing. Then God pours into his heart the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, and the Holy Spirit, taking the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and showing them to the believer, affects the believer in such a way as to guide him and strengthen him in the will of God. It's more than just accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, although it is that. It's more than just having the Lord Jesus Christ actually living his life in the individual person, although it is that. It is a case of the person walking in the will of God, following in the guidance of God, doing the work of God as inwardly guided, motivated, activated by the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. I can't say it much more than that. That's about the best I can put it over to you, that what actually amounts to is that when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, God himself comes in my heart and begins to work in me, lifting me into his will. We're just now studying in the Gospel of John. And studying in the Gospel of John, we have reached the 15th chapter. At this point in the Gospel of John, we are noticing instruction which the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his own disciples just before he left them, just before he was crucified. Now, the Lord Jesus knew he was going to be crucified. He knew that he would not be long with them. And he took this time, just at the end of his fellowship with them here on earth, he took this time to prepare them for their experience after he was gone. When his body would be taken away from this world, how would they do then? When they would not have his personal presence, when they could not ask him in person and have him tell them in person, when they could not look into his eyes and have him look into their eyes, when they could not touch his hand and have him touch their hand, when they could not lay their hand upon his shoulder and not have his arm over their shoulder, when they were not able to do this any longer, then how would they do? And this the Lord Jesus is here explaining in this portion of Scripture. So today we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, and if you have your Bibles open, to the 15th chapter, I want you to notice the first 11 verses. Now I'm going to read these verses, and as I do, I want you to look at them, and I want to make some comment about them as we go along. Remember here that the Lord Jesus is explaining to his disciples how it's going to be when he's gone. So this is what we read in chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. The Lord says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now you and I ordinarily don't use that word husbandman, because it's an old English term that you and I find other words for. I expect the average word you'd use today would be farmer, or you might use gardener. It's a fruit grower. It actually means something like gardener, the person who's taking care of the plants. Now in verse 2, he'll tell you how he takes care of the plants, and this is very striking. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. You know how that is? Cuts it off. In other words, if there are any branches in this grapevine that are not bearing any fruit, he just snips them off, takes them away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Now, there's another word you don't ordinarily use, the word purge, because in this connection, you would probably use the word prune. He prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. This is a very interesting passage because it'll help you understand some of the things that are happening to you. After you become a Christian, you may pass through certain experiences that are rather hard to bear. You may, for example, be called upon to give up something. Maybe that something's taken away from you, and you'll feel just as though the Lord's against you because he's taking away from you something that you want. He's pruning you that you may bring forth more fruit. By taking away this thing that your heart's attached to, he turns your energies over into his will. Just the way it happens when a gardener, seeing a certain plant, seeing a certain tree, prunes it, cuts out certain things so that the remaining branches will bear better fruit. Now, verse 3. Now, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And this word clean means you have been pruned. We've taken away all the unnecessary branches. And through the word which I have spoken unto you, through the scriptures, the reading and studying of the Bible will actually have the effect of taking away some things out of our lives that are not fruitful, things that don't count. It's not an unusual thing to find out with Christian people that when a person becomes a real Christian, there are some things he will no longer do. And if you ask him point blank, what's wrong with it? It wouldn't be that he could tell you especially what's wrong with it. It's just that it isn't for him to do. And I can tell you what's wrong with it. It wasn't fruitful. It wouldn't bear fruit. It was not in the will of God for him. Having said this, he comes now in verse 4 to the passage that I already had quoted to you. Abide in me and I in you. Now remember, he's talking about a vine and the branches. And he means stick in me, stay in me, and I'll stay in you. The word abide meaning the way the branch stays in the vine and the way the life of the vine stays in the branch, stay together. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, and we all know how that would be. You take the branch off and cut it loose, it'll just wilt. Except it abide in the vine, unless it actually sticks to and belongs to and is part of the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. You can't bear fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's the relationship. He that abideth in me and I in him, the person who actually is related to the Lord, the way a branch is related to the vine, and has the Lord in him, the way the life of the vine is in the branch, the same bringeth forth much fruit. It will actually happen that results will follow in your life. For without me you can do nothing. Apart from me you can do nothing. Now this doesn't mean you can't do the day's work. This doesn't mean you can't go down to the office. This doesn't mean you can't drive a car. No, but you can do nothing of the will of God. You can do nothing of what it would be to be obedient to God. You will not be able to do it in your own strength. Now verse 6, he says the same thing. Notice how this reads in verse 6 and is so similar to verse 2. If a man abide not in me, if a branch is not actually drawing life from the main vine, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And you've seen plants like that. You have seen trees where certain branches went dead. They were right there on the trunk of the tree, but they're dead. Well, the man who is taking care of the trees will come through and cut out all those dead branches. They just are not good on there, so he takes them off. And the man who abides not in me, if the branch is not drawing strength from the vine, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now on the other side, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me, put your whole trust in me and trust in me. My words abide in you, that is, you receive what I say, you receive my guidance, you yield to what I am suggesting. You shall ask what you will, but notice what you will doesn't mean you'll ask anything. You won't be willful. You won't just do anything you want to do. If you're abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ and his words abiding in you, he'll affect you. You'll find out that the thing you want will be what he wants. In any case, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. I mean, you remember that several days ago, I suggested to you a very common, ordinary way of understanding what's meant by glorified. Do you remember how I put it to you? When you say, when we talked about that, herein is my Father glorified, I suggested to you that where the word glorified is, you put in these words, he'll get the job done. Now see how this fits here. Herein my Father gets the job done, then you'll bear much fruit. That's what he really wants to do in you. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The Lord Jesus, he spoke this way and explained this so that his people would enter into the relationship. Now what this means for you and for me, this very wonderful passage, is that as Christian people, we'll put our trust in the Lord, we'll look to God, and we'll yield to him. As he works in us, prompting us what to do, go here, don't go there, do this, don't do that, say this word, don't say that word, as we feel inwardly led in this fashion, the results will be in our lives, the things that are pleasing to God, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, faith. These things will come out. The Lord will be satisfied and pleased. God will be pleased, and you will be pleased and will be filled with joy. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to yield ourselves to thee and to let thy Holy Spirit show us the things of Christ and work out thy will in our lives. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.